Welcome to the Latika Vimes Show, a work and life balance podcast for working moms who want to lead and grow in their careers. In this podcast, you will gain tips and inspiration to help you navigate and thrive as you balance and manage your life, marriage, career, and your faith. I am your host, Latika Vines, a working mom of four, a wife, and just like you, a career-driven working mom. It is my goal that myself and all empowering guests that join us will share and explore our life lessons and give you the immediate steps you can take to navigate and thrive in your career and life so you can build opportunities for your self-success. Subscribe to this podcast so you're notified of each episode that airs. Welcome to Latika Vine Show. Hey, working mom, welcome to this episode of the Latika Vine Show. I am so excited that we are here today. You know, we have been talking about this topic, the whole working mom, where we have truly been peeling back the layers of a working mom and all the things that we go through, the things that we've experienced, and how we've overcome, realizing that it's so much more than work-life balance, so much more to that of being a working mom. And I'm excited about our guest today, because she has a story just about that, about how it's so much more to what we see on the outside of being a working mom. And so I cannot wait for you to hear from her. She is my IAW sister from all the way across the world. And I'm so excited to have Heather with us today. Heather, thank you so much for being here and being a guest on the Latika Vine Show.
Thank you. I love chatting with you, so I know it's going to be a great conversation. I know. I feel like we like connected and we're like, yep, we're going to be friends. So yes. It should be.
Absolutely. So can you share us a little bit more about who you are, what to do, all the good stuff?
Yeah, I am Heather Dumas. I am a healthy lifestyle strategist. I own HD Transformations. I've been coaching in the health and wellness space for almost 7 years now. Before that, I was started in group fitness, started teaching spin when my daughter was right after I had my daughter, and kind of got sucked in from there. But I wear a lot of different hats, as I'm sure most of the listeners and you do. My other hat, one of them is I'm a mom. I have a 17-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter, and we are in the process of college applications right now. So that feels like a full-time job in and of itself. Luckily, he's an overachiever and just an amazing kid. So I have no doubt he will get to where he wants to go, but we got to cross the I's and dot the T's. No, cross the T's and dot the I's. Good thing I'm not the one applying. And my daughter is a ski racer, and that is another hat I wear. So I grew up as an athlete. I was a ski racer and a soccer player, and I teach skiing. I teach instructors how to teach skiing, and I coach my daughter's team. So there's three jobs in one. So she's also a Girl Scout. I'm her Girl Scout leader. So if you're listening and you're like, yes, yep, I do all the things. Yes, I feel you. And I just keep saying yes. That's not true, actually. I've learned how to say no. And if you haven't, that can be a conversation we can have another time. But that's who I am. My husband and I have been married for 21 years, and he's amazing. And we live in Utah, not all the way across the world. We're like 3/4 of the way across the country. It's a lot less humid here. And we get beautiful snow and we have beautiful mountains. So that's who I am.
I need to come to Utah. That's one state I have not been to.
It is gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous.
I need to come. I really, really do. Okay. I'm going to put that on my list, Heather, to come visit you.
Okay. When we get our IAW chapter launched, you come out. And maybe I'll have you speak. There we go. You come out and speak.
Perfect.
Done. We can have lunch. It'd be fun.
I'm there. That is so amazing. One thing I did not know about you, about the Girl Scout.
I'm a Girl Scout. My mom was a Girl Scout. My daughter's a Girl Scout. I'm a Girl Scout leader. Yeah.
Oh
We
my
are deep
goodness.
into it. Deep into it.
Yes. You know, my daughters, they said they wanted to quit.
Oh no.
Yeah, so they quit.
Oh no.
They quit. They quit. And I was just, you know, like you. But my mom was a Girl Scout and I was a Girl Scout. You have to be a Girl Scout. And they was like, no, mom, we're done.
Oh, well, luckily my daughter has an amazing troop. They've been together since the beginning. They
Oh,
are
that's
thick as thieves.
good.
And we've made sure that we do really cool stuff. Like,
That's good.
and that's the thing I think with Girl Scouts, like it gets pitched to the little ones about brownies and all that, but it doesn't get fun till you're older. And once you're older, you can travel, you can do all this cool stuff. So
That is true.
that's too bad. I have to talk them back into it.
Yeah, absolutely. But you talk about all the things that you do, all the hats that you're wearing, these roles. And in that, I heard you say how you said yes to a lot of things, but you've learned to say no to a lot of things as well. Tell me, how have you evolved as a working mom? Because that took a time for you to get to that point. So talk about that.
Well, part of it was my husband sitting down and having to come to Jesus with me a few times. You must stop. You're going to run yourself into the ground. But also it was, I had the blessing of being able to stop. I used to manage restaurants and, nights, weekends, holidays, I was never home. And finally, my husband got to a point in his career where I didn't need to do that anymore. And I was able to step back and kind of choose what I wanted to do. And at that point, I really took a moment to try to decide how I was going to make it happen, because especially working those hours, I did not see my son a lot when he was little. My daughter, I stopped working full time in restaurants when she was a year old. So, all the little years, I wasn't around for a lot of it, and it's heartbreaking, as you know. There's mom guilt. It doesn't matter what hours you work, it doesn't matter what job you do. If you're not with your kid, you feel bad about it. And even if you love what you do, I mean, I never wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. It's not my jam. I need to move too much and do too many things. But not being able to be there when I wanted to be there really killed me. So I was very intentional about what I chose to do. But I did continue to fill my plate up and put too many things on it and say yes and say yes and say yes. And so I've evolved in that. I have learned to be very, very choosy. And if it doesn't make me happy, like group fitness, for example, I taught it for 12 years, loved it. At one point, I was teaching 12 classes a week. I was working at th five different gyms. But about a year ago, I got to the point where I was like, this is not fun anymore. It's not, it feels like I'm giving more energy than I'm getting, And so, again, my husband, we have a lot of deep conversations. I love that part of it. But I was sitting there and I was like, it was the night before I was going to teach. And I was like, I just don't want to do it anymore. And he's like, then don't. And it was almost like I needed someone to give me permission to say no to something. But then I thought, yeah, no, I'm not going to do it. He's like, you did it because it was fun. If it's not fun, don't do it. So I think we have to just have someone else sometimes check us. Hopefully you have a partner or a friend that you can say, hey, am I crazy? But it's really paying attention to how you feel. When you walk in the door to do that thing, does it lift you up? Do you walk out feeling like, yeah, that was awesome? Or do you dread it? And if you're at the point where you dread it, it might be time to say no.
Absolutely. That's really good advice. Really good advice. It's important for us to have those type of partnerships where we can be vulnerable and that person can also be vulnerable with us, and honest and say, hey, this may not be for you. You know, so that's a blessing that you have that in your husband, where you two can
100%.
have that type of relationship. Where he can be honest and you can be honest with him. That is truly a blessing. So tell me, what are some ways that working moms struggle with a lack of energy? I'm sure you've experienced it. I'm sure you've heard other moms say just how they just are blah. They don't have the energy. You know, they may not get to the point, or may not have gotten to the point where they don't know what makes them happy. They don't know, or they don't realize that, hey, this thing is draining me. You know, so how in the world, you know, how what are they struggling with? You know, how do they get to that point of, I can't do this anymore. I'm struggling. I don't have time for this. I don't have energy for this. And how do we get to that point?
Well, I'll tell you, that's the number one thing I hear. The number one thing, followed closely by, I can't do this anymore. Because we, as women, we have this amazing ability to just make it happen. You know, clear back to caveman days when your job was just to keep the little human beings that you created alive, right? That's your main job. And so we were created to do amazing things. We were given the ability to literally give anything out of our body to grow a healthy baby, even if it kills us. And that does not change in adulthood. I mean, into like, not adulthood, in modern life. It doesn't change just because we're no longer living in caves. So the exhaustion comes from a number of places. And that is what I help my clients figure out, is to understand their bodies. If you understand your body and you can figure out what it needs, then you can end the exhaustion. So let me tell you what I mean by that. So exhaustion can feel like I didn't get enough sleep. But if you get enough sleep and you wake up and you're still tired, that's not the problem, right? So a lot of us are like, oh, I'm exhausted, but I shouldn't be. I slept. I shouldn't be, because, and we do that to ourselves. Well, I shouldn't. I should be able to tuck it, you know. It can be hormonal. It can be a nutritional thing. If you're not giving your body what you need, and or you're eating foods that are inflammatory, that causes your body to be tired. It puts it in sick mode. You know, if you think about like our computers have safe mode, whenever your body feels like it's under attack, it goes into sick mode. And what I mean by sick mode is it's trying to fix things. When it's trying to fix things, it cannot build, it cannot grow, it can only fix. It's like a light switch. And so whether you are super stressed out, which can be mentally exhausting, but also it causes physical fatigue, because it generates, the more you use your brain, the more calories you burn. So when you have a really stressful, you know, you're thinking really hard all day, you feel physically exhausted. It's because your body is churning. It was working, 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 trying to find energy within itself to feed your brain so it could keep thinking. So it can be stress, it can be hormonal, it can be nutritional, it can be a lack of exercise. Now you're probably thinking, okay, if I'm tired, I don't want to exercise. How is not moving causing me to be more tired? Our bodies are energy plants. They run on supply and demand. So in our family, on Sundays, especially this time of year, we watch football, right? So you can lay on the couch and you can watch football all day on Sunday and take three naps and still be tired. That's because your body doesn't have any demand for energy. When there's no demand, it doesn't create it. But if you get up and you go for a walk before you sit on the couch and watch football, you notice you have more energy. It's because you've now asked your muscles to work and use what they have. So then your body has to burn stuff to replace those, that energy storage. That's like the simplest way I can explain it. So, exercise, nutrition, stress, and then hormones. Hormones are a big, big deal. They are a huge deal. And women have not gotten a fair shake in medicine and life. Like with everything else, we've kind of been the pushed off to the side, last thought. So our cycle is a 28-ish day cycle, right? Well, throughout those weeks, our energy shifts depending on what hormones are going and why. Okay. So if you think about day one, of your cycle is when you start bleeding. Okay. So everything is zeroed out, basically. Like we've hit the reset button. From that day up till ovulation, everything is building. Your estrogen is increasing. Your testosterone is increasing. Estrogen is your superpower. It helps you fight disease. It helps you think clearly. It helps you look pretty. It helps your skin glow and your hair look fluffy, right? So that's all increasing. Then we get testosterone. We know what that does because guess what? Men get to rule the world and we already know what that means. But guess what? Testosterone is the number one. We have more of that in our body than anything else. It's not just a male thing. And so we feel stronger. We feel more assertive. We have more energy with both of those. After you ovulate, progesterone pops in and starts helping you to calm down, to relax. Why? Because you might be getting ready to have a baby. So you start to be a little bit, and estrogen goes down, testosterone goes down. So energy goes down. We get more relaxed. We get more introverted, and we don't necessarily want to go out and party. Our hair may not look as beautiful. Our skin may not be glowing. And then the week before your period, you know, you don't feel great. That is not a fault. It is not a curse. It is natural. It's what you're supposed to do. And so when you crave chocolate, it's not because you have a lack of self-control. It's because chocolate has magnesium. Magnesium helps you to relax. So there's a rhyme and a reason to all that. And the reason that you don't want to talk to anyone, it's because of your hormones. It's where they are. All that to say, if your hormones are not in balance and working as they should be, you can feel really exhausted all the time because your estrogen is really high or really low. Your testosterone is really high or really low. Progesterone really high or really low. Any of those out of whack, too much or too little, you will feel it. That's our menstrual cycle is the coolest thing because it is a barometer. It is the check engine light. If it's painful, if it's crazy for any reason, if it goes away, there's a problem. That is your body saying, hello, there's something wrong here. There's something not working. So we have to work with our bodies. We have to give it what it needs. We got to eat the foods we need. We got to exercise. We got to get good sleep. And we got all of that will help your hormones to be in balance. But sometimes they're still not. And then you need some other interventions from other places. So very long-winded. Sorry, I can get very soapboxy there.
That was so good because I'm sure that resonated with so many, including myself, because I know that I'm watching my own girl as, you know, they haven't gotten their cycle yet, but I'm watching that emotional roller coaster and looking at their lack of energy when I get on my cycle.
Yeah. So they're syncing up with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, I need to tread lightly with these two because I know how they're feeling because I'm also feeling that same way, you know? Yeah. So it's so energy because they get, it's so amazing because they get tired. Mm-hmm. They don't have the energy to do anything, to talk, to eat, nothing, you know? And so it's amazing to hear what you say because I'm experiencing it, but to watch them.
Yeah.
You know,
well, we just don't get taught about it. It doesn't get explained to us. And there are other hormones besides just your reproductive hormones, and those get just as out of whack. And so for example, the Snickers commercial where if you get hangry, hey, that's a problem. You should never get hangry. If you're hangry, it's because your body doesn't know how to use fat for energy. So it's only living on the sugar that you're eating. And I don't mean like dietary sugar. I mean, starch and carbohydrates, right? So if your body is dependent on that, it doesn't know how to break down fat for energy. So as soon as it runs out of what you've eaten recently, it panics. Mm-hmm. It panics. And I dealt with that for the majority of my life. Mm. I didn't know that I was insulin resistant until a year and a half ago. Wow. Like I didn't know how to fix it. I knew it 12 years ago, but I didn't know how to fix it until about a year and a half ago. And I can't tell you the freedom I feel from not panicking if I don't eat. Like, wow. It's the most debilitating thing ever, because you feel you feel like you can't go anywhere or anything without a snack. You know, like my first thought every day was like, where's my food coming from? That's not healthy. You should not be, you know. So, and that can drastically affect your energy. Mm-hmm. If your body can't burn fat for fuel, and it is spiking with, so every time you eat a carbohydrate, you get tons of energy, right? And then it crashes. Guess what that does to your energy? Your body is like on a roller coaster all day long. Of course you're exhausted. So it's our bodies have to run like the fine machines they are, the well-oiled machines. And if we don't know which system is offline, we can't really fix it.
That is amazing. Thank you for breaking that down. Yeah.
I hope it wasn't, I tried to keep it not too geeky sciencey. I listened to some, I love the science part of it, but I know some people are like, well, okay, too many big words. So.
But that's it's, you know, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
And when you have the knowledge now, you have the power to make the transformation, to make that change.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that, because some of us are asking ourselves, like, why do I lack energy?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're carrying around excess body fat, if you are eating foods that are inflammatory, if you are stressed out, your body is in that fix it mode. Mm-hmm. Well, your little army of soldiers can only work so hard 24 hours a day before they get tired. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's when your body starts to shut things down. Mm-hmm. It starts to say, okay, we don't need, and that's the thing that we don't recognize, is when we're under stress, one of the very first things that shuts down is your prefrontal cortex.
Yes.
So suddenly that brain fog, like you can't think right. It's because your body is so busy trying to fight whatever enemy it thinks it has that it doesn't need to think logically. If a tiger is chasing you, you don't need logic. You need energy.
Right, right.
So it sends sugar into your blood. It spikes your blood pressure. Your heart rate goes up, right? Your digestion slows down, because we don't need to digest. We just need to run. So all those issues that we have that we tend to treat individually, if you can step back and go, oh, I have all the things that my body's supposed to have when it's under stress, except for that I shouldn't be under stress because I'm sitting in a chair in a 70-degree house, you know?
Right. Right. Wow. So amazing. So what do you think are some of the obstacles that we as working moms face when we have too many tasks? You know, what you mentioned at the onset, how you had to sit down and really understand what is giving me energy. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm pouring this energy out, is it coming back to me? Like, what do you think some of the obstacles are for us? Because we're not always sitting down and doing that analysis. We're not really reflecting on what is working and what's not working for me. What do you think some of those obstacles are that are preventing us from doing that?
Culture, upbringing. So I'll use myself as an example. I'm not saying anyone else is like this, but I'm betting y'all are. I was raised in a house with a narcissist and a doormat, AKA my mom. And I watched her work full time, do all of the things, and have zero self-esteem. And my dad came home, he poured his cocktail, he kicked up in the lazy boy, and that's where he sat until 10 o'clock when he went to bed. He was served dinner. His laundry was done. His house was clean. And meanwhile, my brother and I had activities and homework and whatever. And so my mom literally did everything. Okay. So I had the, why aren't you good enough? Because I bring home an A-, and why is it not an A? And wanting so badly to have that attention and that love that you're supposed to get from your dad, and approval, and watching my mom do everything in the world and still not feel good enough. And I downloaded that into my little kid brain. And that came up with, you're never good enough. You've got to be perfect. You have to be the best and the fastest and the highest of everything. and you don't get to sit down and rest, because if you sit down and rest, then you're a loser. And on top of that, I have my culture telling me I'm a woman. So I got to work twice as hard to get half as far. And I should do it with a smile on my face and my mouth shut. And all that to say, when you get overloaded, what do? You're not supposed to get overloaded, right? You're supposed to just take it. So that's my my psychoanalysis of that.
Oh, Jesus. You just unpacked the whole lot right there.
A whole lot. I know. I'm sorry. That was a lot, but it took me years of coaching.
Absolutely.
Years of conversations with my mm-hmm. husband as a person who loved me unconditionally to tell me, mm-hmm. hey, you are good enough exactly as you are.
Amen.
And I'd argue with him. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm this, I'm that. I got to lose weight. My hair is this and da, 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 that, right? It took a lot, but it really took, and this is something I do with my clients, and it makes me cry, and it always makes them cry, because when I did it for the first time, I didn't realize how bad it was. And it was to look myself in the mirror, in the eyes, and just look.
Mm.
And we get to the point where we're just, if you put the blinders on and you just keep moving, you don't feel it.
Absolutely.
But you do feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You do feel it. And it builds up and it builds up and builds up. And for me, that means I explode on my kids or explode on my husband for no apparent reason. Like, you know, they left their sock on the floor and I like, it's World War III.
Yeah.
When the catalyst was not the issue, it was how I'd been feeling for weeks and weeks and weeks and trying to just shove it down. So I think the obstacle is ourselves, mm-hmm. and it is taking a moment to stop and to just feel, to be.
Absolutely.
To be aware of how you're feeling. And then the second one is to be willing to say to someone, hey, I'm sad.
Yeah,
I'm tired. I feel undervalued.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I keep talking about my husband, but I love him. What can I say? He's pretty awesome. But one of the biggest things he taught me was communication, because in that family I described, there was no communication. The only communication was screaming and then it was done. And then you just get up tomorrow and pretend like it didn't happen. And for him, he wanted to talk about everything, like literally everything. I was like, dude, why do you need to know where I am all the time? He's like, I just want to know, you know, talk about everything, talk about everything. And so as we've been together for the last 21 years, we've watched people get together, get divorced, you know, right. That kind of sort of thing. And the common denominator in all of those is they didn't communicate. One person didn't say, hey, I'm unhappy. And if they just, if it, you know, as the wife or the mom or whatever, if you just say, hey, I feel overwhelmed. I feel like I'm the only one that does anything around here. If your partner loves you, they're going to help you. If they're open to it, I guess. Sometimes we aren't. We got to work on it together. But, you know, perfect example, I kept joking about the garbage fairy, because my family, we put the garbage outside the garage door, and then the garbage cans are outside in the driveway, right? So theoretically, you're walking outside, you would pick it up and take it with you, theoretically. But it was only me doing that. And I watched them walk over it. And then I left town for 3 days. My husband and my son were home. This is where he's not amazing. And I came home and the garbage was still there. I was like, I know you guys came and went to school, to work, whatever, in and out this door for the last 3 days. And that stuff's still there. I was like, and I used to joke about the garbage fairy. Oh yeah, the garbage fairy just makes it go away. And my husband was like, I flipped out on it. And he's like, seriously, over garbage? I was like, But had mm-hmm. I just said for weeks, and instead of joking about the garbage fairy and trying to like hint around, if I'd been like, hey, I'm going to need you guys to stop stepping over that bag. I'm going to need you to grab it and walk it with you to the driveway, because you're going there anyway. So, but we don't.
Right.
I don't know why I didn't ever say anything. Well, I do, because I didn't want to sound like I was griping or nagging or whatever. I just assumed they would figure it out. You can't assume. You have to talk about it. You have to say something, but you have to know first. You have to be aware, self-aware. So prayer, meditation, going for a walk without your phone, you'll come up with it. You'll figure it out really quickly.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. We have to have a whole conversation. Because you bring up such a really great point about some of the things that we did not resolve as the 6-year-old girl, as the 5-year-old girl, as the 15-year-old girl. We never resolved those things. We never went back to answer those questions that we had at that age. You know, why didn't daddy tell me that he loved me? Why did I see my mom struggle so much and she was not happy?
And why didn't she say anything?
For years.
Yeah. It's interesting because now I have sympathy for my mom. I can see, she never got the love she needed from her parents. So she wasn't able to believe that she deserved to be treated better than that, you know? And now she actually finally left him after 41 years. I was like, really? 41 years in, now you're done? But that's a whole nother conversation. Oh, seriously. But now, even still, like, she still isn't that happy. And it's because she never found it within herself.
Yeah.
You know, you have to find it within yourself. So
you do, you do. And that's the whole point of this series topic of the whole working mom. We have to understand that, you know, God has called us to so many different roles. We got the role of mom, wife, career driven, entrepreneur, community member. We have all of these roles that we have been called to.
Right.
And God has equipped us already to fulfill these roles that he's given us. We have to understand that there's an individual inside there in between all of these things, and that individual, God has already given you the things that you need to be that version that you want to be happy, to do the things that, you know, are fun to you. But you have to understand that as a working mom, as a wife, and all these things that you answer to, there's a Heather inside of there. There's a Latika inside of there.
Right.
And so many of us don't know that. We are doing all the things and not understanding that there's still that girl inside.
Well, I'll tell you one way you know, how you introduce yourself. If you say, I'm a mom.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm a wife. Yes, you are. Mm. Are you first?
Come on.
And I think oftentimes, especially I talk to women and they're like, they say mom, they say wife, they say, you know, business owner, church leader, this and that. And then they go, oh yeah, and my name is Heather. It's like, hold on, flip that around.
Right.
You know, and I'm an overachiever. I want to be the very best mom there is. Like, I want my kids to be the most amazing adults that ever walked the planet. Right. I want to have the very best marriage in the whole wide world. I want to have the most successful business. I used to want to be the very best skier in the world. I know I can't achieve that now. That's all right. I'm okay with it. But I came pretty darn close in my little world, and that was good enough. You know, but you have to at some point realize that you already are. You already are enough exactly as you are. Mm-hmm. You're not broken. You're not under construction. Maybe you're great where you are, but you want to improve. You want to add to. Cool. And that was what a coach had to help me see, was that I'm not broken. I'm not defective. I am perfect exactly as I am.
Yes, you are.
Does that not mean that I can learn new things or try new things or whatever? That's great. But I'm perfect exactly as I am.
Absolutely.
It took me years to be able to say that sentence. Years. So all of that tied back to the exhaustion thing, if you are running through your head all day long about all the reasons that you're failing and all the things that you're sucking at, and then you walk by the mirror and you're like, yeah, and I'm fat too. And you're going to be exhausted because your brain is going 24/7 fighting. It's fighting all day. It's literally like you're arguing with the world all day long, even if Absolutely. Nothing's coming out of your mouth. So you got to put that burden down.
That right there. Yeah, we're going to have another.
That's in the Bible. I know. I can't tell you where, but I know it's in there to put the burden down.
But we do. The Bible tells us, God tells us so plainly, take my yoke, for my yoke is light.
Yeah.
Take it. You know, and when we think of a yoke, a yoke is something that you just throw stuff on to lead. You know, I'm thinking about a donkey or an animal that can handle, you know, a yoke. You put that thing on that animal and the animal got it on its back and it's going. That's what God is telling us. Take whatever you have on your back and give it to him. Let him have it on his back. Let him have it. Let him take it. Let him have control. Let it go. Let it go.
That's the hard part. And that is what leads us to burnout is we don't want to release that control.
Yeah.
Almost every podcast, every interview I've ever done, I use this analogy and I have to. And is this the dishwasher? No one can load the dishwasher the way you load the dishwasher. Your kids load it, you reorganize it. I can't see you, but raise your hand. I know this is you, right? Or folding the laundry or any other stupid task like that, where done is done. The dish is clean. Now, when my kids load the dishwasher, they load it about halfway and run it. Drives me nuts. But you know what? It's clean. I didn't have to do it. And I am a control freak. I will tell you that. I would say recovering, but I'm not. I am just learning. I'm learning to allow other people to have some control. And that 10 or 15 minutes that it takes to load the dishwasher is 10 or 15 minutes you could sit down and read a book. It is 10 or 15 minutes you could go to the bathroom uninterrupted. It is 10 or 15 minutes you could go for a walk. You know, 10 or 15 minutes you could throw dinner in the crock pot. Like, that time is incredibly valuable. And is it worth wasting on the dishwasher, or is it better to let someone else do it who eventually has to learn anyway? How are they going to learn if you don't let them do it, right? Let your 7-year-old do it. It'll be all kind of messy, but it is what it is, you know? We have to let it go. We have to release some control. We have to step back. Otherwise, it will run you into the ground. You cannot be all things to all people all the time.
That's right. We can't. DNP, done, not perfect.
Yep. There you go. Yep. Yep.
Just let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. And I love your analogy of the dishwasher.
I have to use it because it's like, I know all these moms are like, yep. Yep. And I used to go and rearrange it behind them. Mm-hmm. But why am I having them even do it then if I'm going to do that? Like, so stupid. And that's the thing that when I'm working with my clients, the reason I call it lifestyle strategy is because that's where we look at. It's not necessarily having the perfect diet, having the perfect workout. Those things do matter, but it's more perfect for you, right? So how do we find time to get your groceries, to plan your meals, to get to the gym if you want to go to the gym, do workout at home, go for a walk, do your meditation, all these things that make you healthier? We do it in that extra 5, 10, 15 minutes, the carpool line, the whatever. Like, I did a workshop a while back where I promised people I'd find them 5 hours in their week for themselves. And I could find you 5 hours right now, I promise you. And you're probably going, oh no, not my schedule. No, I can promise you. It's a matter of understanding what is important, what's prioritizing what matters to you, delegating the stuff that doesn't.
That's right.
Getting rid of the stuff that you don't want to do or don't need to do. Mm-hmm. And then really being intentional with your time.
Mm-hmm.
Really being
absolutely. That is so good. That is so good. Oh, you just unpacked so much there.
I know. <I'm sorry.
laughs> You packed so much there because it it's so true. I mean, and just to go back to that dishwasher analogy, how many times do we redo something because it's not to our liking?
Yeah.
You know? And when we do that, what is that now doing to the person that we did that to?
That, right?
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just think about, I don't know if this was your household, Heather, but for me, if something wasn't done right, and it was like 11, 12 o'clock at night, my parents would come down and say, hey, you need to get up out of your sleep and go do them dishes correctly.
I did not, because my mom would stay up and fix it.
Mm.
My mom would stay up and fix it. So she didn't. And I wish she had, more to my brother than to me, because I at least have the, I figured that out on my own. He has not. But no, it's, if you take, you got to empower your kids, and they download everything. Everything matters. And you saying, all right, well, I'm going to fix the dishwasher since you didn't do it right.
Right.
They download inadequate. I'm inadequate.
Oh, I'm not enough. Right?
I'm not enough. I'm a failure. It's not really the message you want to send.
Mm.
Better to send, hey, next time, can I show you a couple things that'll make it look better? Next time, make them go this way. Or next time, make sure you rinse off the stuff. Mm-hmm. Whatever. This is really good. I really like this. Next time, try this. I think it'll work better. You know, whatever. But yeah, it's interesting. But we have to have awareness of ourselves enough to go, okay, why am I feeling like I'm frazzled? Why do I feel like I am like unraveling from all ends?
So true. It's so true.
And really step back and go, oh, well, because I'm doing everything. Well, do you have to do everything?
Exactly.
Do you have to do everything, or are you choosing to do it? And if you have to do everything, best be having a conversation with your partner and figuring out what's happening there, making some changes.
Come on. Better preach that. It makes me think of Tabitha in the Bible, you know, and she is a woman in the Bible who was just serving and serving and serving and serving. And she served her community so much that just one day she fell sick and died. And because of what she did of serving her community, the Apostle Peter came and he resurrected her, and she went out and served her community again. But I feel like we as working moms are just like Tabitha, where we're doing all these things, where we're having the roles, we're exhausted. I can only imagine what Tabitha was doing back then. She was probably cooking and cleaning and serving and doing all the things. And we do the same thing. And one day we just get to a point of burnout. We get to a point of no longer having the energy. Now we're frustrated. Now we're overwhelmed. Now we're overweight. Now, you know, just so many things now that have caused us to be physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally sick.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a time in your life where you were like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I do what I do right now. Like I said, I was teaching 12 group fitness classes a week. I was also doing my own workouts on top of that. At that time, my son was like a first-ish grader. My daughter was a toddler. So, you know, that's two full-time jobs right there. My husband works a million hours. So he runs a car dealership. So I see him on Sundays and Thursdays, and that's it. He's gone until late at night. So there's no help with like soccer practice and that kind of stuff. And my son was starting to get into that. Plus, I was trying to be my overachiever self at home, and I was exhausted. I was nasty to everyone. I was holding on to body fat that I shouldn't have been, because I shouldn't have, quote unquote, because I was exercising and I was eating right and doing all the things. And I was just generally miserable. And so I kind of had to just have a conversation with myself. And I decided, I was like, maybe I need to meditate, because I think I had seen something. I don't know if Oprah was still on at that time, but it was like something like that, where it was like, all successful people meditate. And I was like, okay, I think I'm gonna start meditating. Didn't have the first clue how to meditate. Super type A, high strung person, whatever. But I remembered seeing a post from a friend on Facebook about meditation. So I messaged her and I was like, hey, think I want to do this meditation thing. What do I do? Like, how do you do it? She messaged me back. She's like, you know what I do for a living, right? No, didn't know that. Only remembered the picture of the candle and whatever you posted. She was a life coach. And so I started working with her, and I realized that all of the psychological stress that I was putting my body through, because I was frustrated and I was grinding and I was grinding and I was grinding and it's not working, so I'll grind harder, was holding me back. It was causing me to hold on to that body fat. It was causing my hormones to be all kind of whacked out. I already was on HRT at that time, but it wasn't working. My thyroid was like DOA. I keep switching thyroid medications. It wasn't doing anything. Well, your thyroid responds to stress. And so I started working on all that junk, figured out that my dad was a narcissist and all that nonsense, worked through all that. And then I figured out that the foods I was eating were causing inflammation. I wasn't allergic to them. I was sensitive to them. So then I figured out what my body needed for food, and I dialed back my exercise significantly. And lo and behold, my thyroid came back to life. I was happy. I was no longer ripping my husband's head off and barking at my kids all day. And I had energy to burn, all because I figured out what my body needed and gave it to it.
That's amazing.
So that's why I do what I do, because I see women all day, every day doing exactly that. I see the Tabithas. And the other thing that we do is we brag about how tired and stressed out we are. If you find yourself bragging about how stressed out you are, you need to call me, because you are going to hit a wall, and it is going to take you down.
Yeah.
It is going to take you down, and it's going to be the worst possible timing. And you're going to be flat on your back, whether it's in a hospital or in a bed, and all those people that you're serving are going to have to serve you, and you're going to hate every second of it.
Absolutely.
Hate every second of it.
Absolutely.
Oh, and the world will probably stop spinning, because you're the one that keeps it spinning. So, you know.
Absolutely.
All the plates will crash.
And sometimes you're going to have to let them crash in order for you to revive. You know, it's important for you to pay attention to yourself.
Well, and if you think about it, why are you serving these people? Because you love them, right? Yeah. The proverbial air mask, right? If you don't feel 100%, if you are dragging yourself around, living on caffeine, sometimes living on caffeine and alcohol, like, you can't be a good mom.
No.
You can't be a good partner. You can't be a good minister. You can't be a good anything, right? How are you going to love on someone else and give to someone else if you are running on empty?
You can't.
Yeah. And we all know that. We hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're like, well, I can. I like to say that I'm still immortal. I wish I were superhuman. Some days I feel like I should be superhuman. I try to convince myself that I am Wonder Woman, but I keep waking up just a human. And we are just, you know, one of my other coaches I had, she said, we're glorified houseplants. We need sunlight. We need water, food. And if you talk nicely to us, we grow well.
I love that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
She's amazing. Oh my goodness.
You need coaches. You need friends. You need partners. Like, you can't just do it on your own. You cannot do it on your own.
Absolutely. You know, I love Pastor Mike McClure Jr. and his brother, Darius. They have this series in their church called Winning Season. And in that, they talk about having a winning circle, just making sure that you have a circle of individuals that you can collaborate with, that will accelerate you, that, you know, really can help you get to where you need to go, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But when you have that winning circle, that support system of individuals to pour into you or to look at you and say, you know what, Heather, you know, you didn't sound too good when I called you. And so I'll be at your house in 5 minutes just to lay some eyes on you to make sure you're okay. Those are the type of people that you need in your life to help you, because those individuals can be honest with you and say, hey, this ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
So because this ain't working, you need to go try something else.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so important. Yeah.
You gotta listen to them. And even if you don't want to hear it, even if it's not, I mean, I lost a good friend, mostly because she didn't want to hear that.
Mm.
I told her forever and ever and ever, this isn't working, what you have going on here. And she held on tight and it took her away. And that is what it is. She made her choice. But that's the other thing, is you have to look at who is in your life that shouldn't be.
Absolutely.
Who are the vampires that are sucking you dry?
That's right.
You know, or creating that negative, toxic, ugh. You know, if you're hanging out with somebody and after you're done hanging out with them, you're like drained and you feel gross, that's not a person you need in your life. That is a person you need to like exit stage left.
That's right.
You know, and that's not easy to do.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, I've done it a lot in the last couple of years and it gets easier every time. Because you remember, it's just like anything else. Like when you first start exercising, your muscles are sore, right? It's hard.
Right.
It doesn't feel fun. But after you do it for a while, you feel really good and absolutely, you start to see some results. And then it's like, oh, that's worth that being uncomfortable because I know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's the same thing with cutting off people. And you can back away slowly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, yeah, I can't make it to lunch this week. Let me know next time. And then next time, oh, shoot, can't make it. Pretty soon they'll stop asking. Or you just flat out block them, but you know, save that for the really bad ones.
Oh my goodness. I love this. I love this. Where can we learn more about you, Heather, and just stay in touch with you and learn more about your coaching?
Yeah. So I'm on all the socials, HD Transformations with an S on the end. My website is thesame.com, hdtransformations.com. I have a ton of tools and content and stuff to help you out on your journey. I put out a weekly blog, a weekly podcast. I put out tons of stuff on social media and I have tons of tools on there. One of them is really fun. It's a lifestyle quiz. It takes you literally 2 minutes. It's like the ones that used to be in the magazines, and you answer a couple questions and then I'll send you an email with personalized feedback and I'll tie it to a 90s sitcom character to make it fun to let you know, kind of like, okay, where's the gap? I'm doing these things and it's not working. I'm going to tell you the thing that's not working and some ideas on how to make it work. And if that works for you, then give me a call and we'll chat. But I'm very passionate about putting the information out there. Cause like I said, in the very, very beginning, women have not gotten the information.
Right.
It hasn't been readily available to us. And so the more that I feel like the more easily accessible I can make it, the better choices you can make and the happier you'll be.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Your information is in our show notes, so all of our listeners can learn more about you and stay in touch with you and check out that quiz. Cause I myself may do that too.
Slide into my DMs. Let's have a conversation. Let me know. I love talking to people. I love making new connections. So reach out and be like, I am exhausted. What do I do? I'm happy to talk and give you some ideas.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Heather, for being here. I truly appreciate you saying yes. And I can't wait for us to do this again.
Me too. Me too. Thank you so much. Such a good conversation and such
yes.
a, you're doing such a good service sharing this with everybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you everybody for joining us for this episode. And I look forward to talking with you soon. Hey, working mom, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope, I pray that this episode was such a blessing to you. Please bless us by rating this episode and sharing how it's helped you to manage, to balance your marriage, your life, your career, and your faith. Thank you so much for joining us on The Latika Vine Show, and I can't wait for you to listen to the next episode. God bless you.